What's going on, Phil?
Manny, bon dia.
Bon dia. I feel like you haven't been here for like a week.
Something like that.
I think I almost feel like you need to be here every single day because things are happening faster than we can record.
There are a lot of things happening.
Which is unfortunate.
It's been a crazy last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Some interesting fatalities that have happened. They found the worker deceased in the fridge of Azair's, I think.
Oh, you know, you mean the oven in Halifax?
Well, then, no, that was another one.
That's another, so another worker in the fridge.
One worker was in the fridge, they found deceased.
One cooked to death and one froze to death.
I don't know about froze, but yeah.
I didn't hear about that one.
That's been pretty crazy.
And that's in Canada.
And there was a double fatality in Ontario too, in a silo, a scaffold collapse or something along those lines. I don't know, man. I don't know. I had a really informative show today for everybody on fines and enforcement and stuff like that.
We'll get to that one. We'll record that eventually.
Yeah, well, we were going to do that show, but then a tower crane fell last week in downtown Toronto. So I figured it today. Uptown, downtown Toronto.
So that's this show. This show, we're going to get into that tower crane. You got some information. We're going to discuss why it happened, how it happened.
Well, it's an active and ongoing investigation, but we're definitely going to be looking at tower cranes, some of the history in Toronto of tower cranes and what has happened. And we'll touch a little bit on the tower crane that collapsed and what are some of the possible contributing factors to an incident like that. Obviously, it's under investigation. The MOL is doing their thing. But we're today's tower cranes.
Do we have a good record in general? Canada.
I feel like it depends.
Because we've had the most at one time. We had the most in the air, right?
Yeah, Canada. Toronto was definitely the leader of the most tower cranes in a city. I think we were in the first, Singapore, Vancouver, definitely. Yeah. But Vancouver had a serious, I think it was a double fatality last year on a tower crane, which was pretty crazy too. But I think over the last 20 years, we've probably had four or five in Toronto.
So here's the twisted thing that as you're telling me this, and as we're going to dive into this show, we just express a fatality from a tower crane. But people who are listening, watching, don't understand that someone's life, which is affected by the family, if they lost their breadwinner, if they lost a brother, sibling, you know, son, daughter, like, and they, no father, no mother now, two kids, like, there's a bigger picture here than the incident itself, right?
Listen, incidents unfortunately lead to injuries and fatalities, right? And the name of the game is to prevent incidents from happening and making sure that we're in compliance with the regulations and compliance with anything that's applicable to the work that we're doing, the scope of work, the machinery, the equipment, manufacturer's instructions, engineering documentation, the whole nine yards, right? So employers are definitely responsible for their machinery and equipment. Workers that are required to maintain that equipment are definitely responsible for maintaining that equipment, right? So, you know, tower cranes is probably one of the longest sections. I won't say the longest, but for a piece of machinery and equipment, it definitely has a lot of regulations that are applicable. And not just in the tower crane section. There's additional regulations that apply, such as access and egress, electrical hazards, stuff like that too, right? Maintaining and machinery and equipment. So there's a lot of applicable regulations to tower cranes. And they're probably one of the most scrutinized pieces of equipment on a construction project.
Is it easy to, like, I've not been around that world. You've been around that world. You've seen more and you've spoken to more people about that particular piece of machinery. Mm-hmm. So is it easy for the workers that are involved in that machinery, either assembling it or using it on site, to just get into a mindset of a routine? This is how it is, but it's easy to forget. Kind of like the comparison to, we always drive to work the same route, and we're always so easily distracted, not paying attention that something is about to happen, even though we've constantly done the same repetitive action over and over.
So like complacency.
Yeah.
Yeah, complacency always definitely plays a role. Not always, but it definitely plays a role in some of these incidents. I'm not saying that's the case for this recent incident. But, you know, like tower cranes, right from the base, right before it leaves the yard, right? This thing is scrutinized, engineers reviewing it, the base is engineered. There's so many eyes that get put on a tower crane to review and make sure that it's structurally sound, that all the mechanical parts are working, right? There's so many eyes on these tower cranes that it's almost hard to believe that they fail.
But they do.
They do. They do. And we're going to kind of look back at some of the bit of a history and put into context the tower cranes here in Ontario. Now, when I was at the MOL and when I started, I was assigned to the tower crane team. So what had happened was there was a failure of a tower crane in Ottawa. And the Ministry of Labor at that point, in response to that incident, ended up putting a tower crane team together. I think it was about 8 or 10 inspectors. And basically our jobs, or our initiative, was to go and climb every single tower crane in the GTA, or in Ontario, pretty much.
Okay.
Right, because the Ottawa team had some tower crane inspectors, and then the Toronto team had some tower crane inspectors, and then the Mississauga team, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and these inspectors or our team would travel to other areas to do the tower crane inspections also. So they put a tower crane together, team together to start climbing tower cranes and reviewing the documentation. Because, you know, an inspection on a tower crane from the perspective of an MOL officer, it's not just go there, hey, let me take a look at the paperwork.
No, you have to physically look at the...
You have to physically climb the crane.
Yeah.
And speaking as someone that's probably climbed, I'll say close to, I don't know, 80 cranes in my history, my experience. Yeah, 80 cranes, that's probably a very fair.
Are you inspecting the entire crane? You going down the fulcrum and everything like that?
Are
you not allowed to?
It's not that I'm not allowed to, but I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I got to wear a fall arrest system or a travel restraint system. Anywhere where there's guardrails, that's where I kind of drew the line.
Okay.
Right? If I needed to see the block, then I'll just get them to lower the block down and take a look at the block and stuff.
Okay.
But as part of that tower crane inspection team, you are going right from the base, right from the bottom, and working yourself all the way to the top to review everything. Now, at the time, I'll say close to 20% of the tower cranes in the GTA were getting shut down.
At the time of that so-called blitz, so to speak, because of an accident.
An incident that happened in Ottawa, they put the tower
20%.
Crane, close to 20%.
So one out of every five was getting shut down.
Give or take.
Wow.
Right? Unfortunately, when you shut down a tower crane, you shut down most of the project.
You can't move forward?
No.
Right? Unless, I guess, depending on the level that you're at, work is still being done on the other previous floors that are complete. And they're
sure,
doing
but the tower stuff. Crane is probably the most important piece of machinery and equipment. Yeah. You definitely cripple a project by shutting down this tower crane, right? So you can understand how many people were upset about tower cranes getting shut down, right? So after I left the MOL, I don't know if they continued the tower crane team. Currently at the MOL, I don't know if there's too many experienced inspectors to be climbing tower cranes or whether they're specialized training. I know that after the recent ones that happened in 21 and 22, you know, they announced blitzes and initiatives and inspect machinery and equipment, et cetera, et cetera. But just to do an inspection on a tower crane, a thorough inspection, you know, by an enforcement officer, you're looking at like a 3 to 4 hour inspection.
So technically you could really only do 2 a day.
And that was our target, 2 tower cranes a day. And that's what we were cranking out, our team. So we were cranking out 2 inspections a day.
So here's a dumb question. I mean, why do blitz? Why not just make it a routine and possibly avoid a tower crane situation?
The situation, I don't know, from my perspective, and I'm not speaking on for the MOL, but there are so many things that you can blitz, right? Fall protection and machinery and equipment and struck by and crushed by and electrocutions and trenches, right? There's so many things that you can blitz that it's hard to be consistent, I guess, with your initiatives, right? It kind of just goes with the wind. Whatever is on, oh, we're having these many issues, so we're going to focus on this. Should it be more consistent? Should there be a dedicated tower crane team? Should inspectors be climbing tower cranes and going in? Yes, 100%.
But then again, we go back to the argument that there's not enough people.
Well, hey, listen, at the peak, there was about 220, 230 tower cranes in the GTA.
There. Yeah, so do the math.
To a day, 10 inspectors, you can crank that out. Right? It's quite feasible.
You need 100 plus people just to take care of this. Just tower crane inspections.
No. Our team managed to inspect every single tower crane in Ontario.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we managed to do it because we had a team. We knew what we were doing. We went out. We climbed the tower cranes. Bing, 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 bing. Let's go next one.
What were some of the things that you guys were finding?
Things that led to stop work orders. Improperly maintained tower cranes. Okay. Structural deficiencies.
Meaning, cracks. Oh, so cracks. It was struck by, it was hit.
Oh, man. I remember one tower crane I shut down. There was a crack in it. So, like, you could stick a paper right through it. Like, there was nothing.
As you're climbing up, you can see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could see it. You're checking for pins. You're checking for structural components. You're checking the blocks. You're checking cables. You're checking it all. Electrical, landings, access and egress. You know, we had some issues with how the tower crane operators would get to their crane, right? So sometimes they had to jump over some protruding rebar and no guardrails.
Why would there be protruding rebar going into the base?
Not necessarily just the base, but every single level up, you've cut a hole in the slab, you got rebar in the slab, they got to bend the rebar up, right? So some of these will pose some
hazards
or difficulties accessing and egress, right? So, you know, and then we look at things like the electrical box and the power running to it. And, you know, so there's a lot of applicable regulations when it comes to tower cranes. And as a result of the last few tower crane collapses, the Ministry of Labor ended up pushing new regulations that are coming into force January 1st, 2025.
So that's from the last one in 2021.
Was it 2021 or 20? I'll show.
We're gonna pull them up.
It's hard to keep track of all of these.
Well, then let's pull it because if it's coming from 2021, we're in 2024 right now. 3 years later, they're putting new regulations.
It takes time to pass laws.
Okay,
right? It's not like, oh, we're gonna just write these laws and pass them next week. No, you know, it goes to consultation and different groups have input into the generation of these laws or the wording of these laws or these regulations. The
lawyers get involved.
Well, lawyers, interest groups, lobbyists, I don't know. You call it
developers.
Well, whoever has
invested. You slow down a job.
The high-rise forming association definitely has input into some of these regulations, right? They're the ones that use the tower grids.
It's the almighty dollar, right? Because every day it's shut down.
Well, listen, there's... When this tower crane collapsed, we posted some images and stuff. And I'd like to say thanks to everybody who sent pictures and videos and you know, Instagram's amazing. Instagram might be a full-time job for me. Honestly, between the amount of pictures and videos that I get sent from job sites, Phil, is this? Hey, Phil, look at this. Hey, Phil, look at that. Hey, man, it's exhausting.
I know it is.
It's really
exhausting. You're trying to keep it up, and then you legitimately want to respond or investigate, 100%. Look at it, and go, here's my thought, my professional opinion on this. It takes time. Times one. That's one post. Times how many posts?
Yeah, man. Listen, I always try my best to answer people the best that I can. And I'm not going to pretend I know everything, right? But if I don't know, I'm calling someone that does.
Yeah.
Right? Fortunately for us, we have a lot of resources, our team.
Or you could just listen to a new episode of Safety Corner.
Yes.
Because we'll be tackling all those issues as they go along.
Man, one episode is not enough to tackle all the stuff that I get in 1 week, man.
Let's get into it. So start talking about the ones recently that have happened.
We're going to get in there.
Okay. But,
so as mentioning the regulations, for anybody who wants to take a look at the tower crane regulations, obviously you can do a search for Ontario construction regulations. But section 157 to section 165 is all the regulations on tower cranes. But that being said, there are other regulations that are applicable.
Okay.
So a lot of them are grouped in this section, but there are other regulations.
For like kind of interesting circumstances?
Well, no, for electrical hazards, for example, or for access and egress.
Okay.
Right? So these are found in other sections of the construction regulations, but they're all definitely applicable. Right? It can be something as simple as housekeeping. You know, the landings are full of garbage. How is the operator supposed to climb, right? And, you know, the operators face their own challenges too. Like, you're an operator in a cab and, like, how do you go to the washroom, for example?
Well, How does that work? I'm just curious about that with the MLL, because technically speaking, they don't come down. They stay up there.
What I can tell you is this. A lot of the tower cranes and the cabs that I've gone into have piss bottles inside of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Because the amount of time that it would
Gatorade.
Take.
Yeah. Don't drink yellow Gatorade on a job site.
For them to climb down, mm-hmm. go to the bathroom, climb back up, like times that per whatever time per day, that's down.
Yeah, and it's not, depending on how high your crane is, you know, it takes you a while to get down to a washroom.
Yeah.
Right? So there is definitely challenges of some operators. On the other hand, I was watching a video on Instagram the other day where an operator was in his cab, in his flip-flops.
No.
Yeah, yeah. It is, these guys get really comfortable. Some of these operators get really comfortable in their. And this guy was fully making lunch, which was a steak with some mashed potatoes. And he had a hot plate inside there. And he was fully cooking, cooked up a steak and mashed potatoes. It was like he had his own little cooking show inside the cab.
It's not a bad idea, but dangerous idea.
At least he's eating healthy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the important part, right? But no, these guys get, some of these operators get really comfortable in their cabs and decorate them and stuff like that.
It's good money though, eh, Phil?
Yeah, I know some operators that make over, or their peak times, 220, 240.
And then?
240,000.
Union, pension, retirement.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pros. Now, in this environment right now, would I rush in to be a tower crane operator? Maybe not. I feel like there might be a surplus of tower crane operators.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? But, you know, hopefully things change around. They cut the interest rate, so that's good.
That's a different show.
It is definitely a different show.
That's a different show. So, all right, I want to get into it.
All right. So, does everybody remember Crane Girl? Remember this citizen?
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah,
I remember that. I feel like nothing has been the same since Crane Girl. So, you know, people breaking into job sites, some of these thrill seekers that climb the tower cranes. Have you ever seen these videos?
Yeah, I've seen that.
There was a guy that I used to follow on an Instagram page called Roof Topper, I think it was. I think he ended up dying. Yeah. And
from what, like
falling
around?
From the top of something. These guys would climb these buildings and hang off the edge and, you know, like a parkour or whatever it's called.
So just looking for the thrill.
Yeah, a bit of thrill seekers, right? Yeah. But I think in this case, the crane girl is the one that broke onto the job site, climbed the tower crane, and then somehow got stuck up there, and then they had to rescue her from that tower crane. That was always interesting.
Was she fine?
I have no idea.
Probably. She's stress testing, right?
I hope so.
And then you have a crane. So what is it? Construction crane collapses in Mississauga during windstorm.
So this was during a windstorm.
Work hours?
I believe not.
Okay.
So, but what usually happens is these cranes are free slewing, meaning that with the wind, they'll move around, right? And that's what they're designed to do. I'm not sure exactly what happened in this case, besides obviously the windstorm. But obviously it failed, right? So that crane came down. And we got to keep in mind, too, with these cranes, there's usually four reasons why these cranes fail.
Okay, they are.
So first is weather.
Yeah.
Right? With the hurricanes down in Florida, we've seen videos of cranes just toppling over, et cetera, et cetera. Next is structural failure. So one of the components fails, causing it to collapse. Next can be a mechanical failure, dropping a load or something along those lines. And then really it comes down to operator error.
Yeah.
Right? So an operator error can lead it to, you know, crane smash into a building or something along those lines.
Here's the question. What's the 1, 2, 3, 4 on that?
What
is the operator error fourth or first?
Well, listen.
From your research.
The operator is the one that spends the most time with the tower crane.
Yeah.
Right? After it's all erected and all said and done, it's just the operator and the crane.
Yeah.
Right, and everyone is trusting that operator. The amount of trust that the operator gets is insane, right? They're picking up thousands of pounds of loads and moving them around the job sites, you know, at some
over workers, around workers.
Sometimes over workers, sometimes, you know, I've done a fatality not recently, but like 3 years ago or something where I got called in. And the operator, something happened, they shock loaded... It was like the spoils from the concrete and the shotcrete, the spoils they had kind of put in and then jammed some rebar, candy caned rebar into it. And then it kind of hardened. And then the next day the crane picked it up. But
thinking that that could hold on to.
Right. So they had two pieces of candy cane rebar. The crane picked, they rigged it, they picked it up, and then they moved it about 80 feet in the air and it came off and dropped and crushed the worker. And you can imagine how much that weighs. It was over 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, easily it was a ton. Easy. Yeah.
All right, and they crushed that guy. So loads over workers are always...
So workers became engineers at that time, thinking this is fine, we can move it.
Well, eventually this company got charged. A few other charges there to supervisors and stuff like that. It definitely could have been prevented, 100%. Yeah. Who the hell puts candy cane rebar and uses that as a picking point? Right, like, you know, but some of these things is the way they've been doing it for a while and nothing's ever happened. And then all of a sudden it happens. And
complacency,
then,
that's what I get into, right?
Complacency or ignorance, you know, I'm ignorant of a way to do it better, right? Or a lack of equipment or materials, you know, after this company got charged and eventually got found guilty, I think. You know, they changed their process. We're not going to use this.
Yeah, but it wasn't until a fatality that they changed their process.
But that's the majority of construction. I won't say the majority of the construction, but
that's the mindset of construction.
That is one definite motivator for a company to switch around, right? You know, I've been charged. Okay, now we got to do some things. Or we've had a fatality or an injury. Okay, now we're definitely changing our mindset. Some of my biggest clients, you know, they're only at that level of safety because they've had a fatality previously and they don't forget it. Right. So, you know, it's
just a shame that it takes that death.
Yeah, it definitely is. Right. It's definitely a shame. And most of these things can be prevented, but you know, safety is always battling production.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes safety works hand in hand with production, which is the way it should.
But do you really want to be the builder that has a stain on that building that you built where there was a death there? Does that not bother developers?
I don't know.
Like when they have their opening and the event and everybody's there suit and tie. Meanwhile, a worker or a workers died. Like that wouldn't settle right with me if I was the developer.
Listen, I'm going to tell you one case that happened to me. So I got called to respond. Me and another inspector got called to respond to a fatality where a piece of 4-inch cast iron pipe about 12 inches long got dropped from the 23rd floor and hit a worker down on the third floor mezzanine and took out a whole chunk of his skull. Okay. Blood, brain matter, everything's on the floor.
What floor?
Fell from the 23rd floor and the worker was on the third floor. And it was two buildings with a mezzanine in between, like three floors, outdoor pool type stuff. But it was also being used as a staging area for the high-rise forming company. And what the forming company was doing was moving the outrigger platform from the 20, or they're moving it from the 20th to the 23rd, or they're moving it from the 23rd to the 26th, something along those lines. And what they use is to swing this outrigger platform off the building, they'll put some cast iron pipe and roll it off.
The Egyptians. Building pyramids.
Okay.
That's how they would move something heavy, right? It's old school moving something heavy.
Yes.
Yes.
So they rolled it off. And what happened was that pipe just rolled right off the building. And that worker was walking from one building to the other building. He had to walk out the door. He had to make a left. He had to make a right. He had to make another right. And right when he did that, that pipe hit him in the head. All right. But this is not the story. The story is me arriving on site, and within 15 minutes, two cars showed up. One was a beautiful black Mercedes. Another one was a beautiful black Audi. Two guys in suits come out, and they come up to me. All right, are you the lead investigator? I am, yes. Okay, I am the president of X company. X. I'm the president of X developer, and here's my business card. Okay, great. And he turns around to me and goes, I only have one question. And I go, what's that? How long till my project is open again?
Wow.
How long? I don't know. It's an ongoing investigation.
This just happened.
It happened.
The time that you arrived.
It happened. I arrived maybe 2-3 hours after the incident. And that these two black cars showed up maybe 15 minutes after I arrived on site. So he asked me, he goes, how long till my job? I don't know. The investigation just starting. We'll see how it goes. Right? He's like, okay, good. That's my lawyer over there. If you have any questions, ask him. Jumped back on his car and drove away. But I was very happy to issue a summons
to that individual.
Ooh, put a big smile on my face. Walking into his office and giving him a summons.
Was he as pleasant at the time of receiving a summons?
He didn't care less.
Wow.
He did. And this is just a reflection of this individual, not a reflection
of all developers.
No, he didn't care. He could care less. And while we were figuring some things out, it turns out that they had left. And this might be a trick that a lot of developers use, or is definitely the one that this developer used. And basically, they'll leave some condos off the market. They'll just build them at, like, units.
Yeah.
And they'll save those units. So if there's a fatality or anything like that, those units, the money sold from those units is what's used to pay for lawyers and the case and whatever else is used.
That's a routine in the industry?
I'm not saying that's a routine in the industry, I've heard that happening on a few sites, a few developers, right? So they'll leave these, okay, in case of emergency, because odds are, I won't say they're good, but, you know, for every building, you know, or every three buildings, you'll have the possibility of a fatality.
It's like the automakers, man. Like, you don't do a recall in anticipation that you get.
I feel like in high-rise some years, you'll have, like, just from high-rise, maybe 6-7 fatalities. Maybe 5. High-rise forming is easily the most dangerous job in construction.
Yeah, the variables that are attached to it, man.
Oh, man. So many moving parts there. But anyways, back to cranes.
You can't have eyes in the back of your head, man.
Well, you know, being... You got to have eyes on the back, on the top, on the side, on the front, you know, like, you got to look down, you got to look left, you got to look right. Your head has to be on a swivel, right? And we've done cases, or I've done cases and investigations where, you know, the formwork collapses, right? Not enough shoring, didn't fold engineer drawings, whatever it may be, right? So, you know, what you're standing on can give out, what you're working underneath can give out, loads that are being moved in the air can give out, right? So, yeah, and then you're dealing with fall protection on a constant basis.
Do you know what the percentage of workers on high-rise are new and what percentage are experienced?
No.
Because I'm just assuming you're thrown right into the den there and, like, you get working because you join the union or whatever. You're part of this forming crew and now you get thrown right into the mix. You're side by side with experienced people, but still you're an inexperienced worker on a very dangerous site.
Well, your workforce definitely reflect, in terms of attitude and production, your workforce and the type of workers that you have definitely reflect your company.
Yeah.
Right? The best forming companies out there, you know, they've had issues, they've had incidents, they've had fatalities. I don't think there's one high-rise forming company out here right now that has never had a fatality. I don't think so. I could be wrong, and someone out there, please correct me. But I feel like the top 10 high-rise forming companies in Ontario have all had fatalities. Right?
Let's get into it.
And then in 2018, we had a topless woman rescued from a crane in downtown Toronto.
She lose her top getting up there or something?
I have no clue, man. But you can see in the picture, she's literally inside the cab.
That's funny.
And okay. The police are there and stuff like that. But we had a whole spate there for a while of people breaking into job sites and climbing towers.
Do we not have security on these job sites? I thought we had 24-hour security.
I think there's probably more security on job sites now than there was previously. Right? But that was, it's just some of these headlines you read and it's like, what?
2018, summer, August 16th. And then you have another one, crane collapse, downtown Toronto, 16th of July, 2020.
Yeah. So this crane that we're looking at right now came into contact or collapsed onto the next door building there. Can't remember which site this was. But this kind of started into the next one.
So construction crane collapses in downtown Toronto intersection.
This one, again, with all these tower crane collapses, no one's got injured and no one died. You know,
just like property damage.
Lucky. Lucky, right? Because even this tower crane that fell.
That's right on the road. That's right on the.
Yeah, like.
Block.
Cars,
and pedestrians. That wasn't that long. That was like 2 months after the previous one.
Right. And this is what kind of started spurring the MOL to start getting back to tower cranes and start doing blitzes and et cetera.
What's this other one? Crane atop a Toronto condo collapses after years of issues and complaints. What do you mean years of issues and complaints?
Remember this building, the L Tower?
Yeah.
These guys had an issue. The crane was stuck up there for a while. Then they had another little crane up there. I don't.
They couldn't bring it down?
I can't remember exactly what happened, man.
That was July 12th of the following year, 2021.
Anyway, okay. So a portion of that temporary crane, I guess, I think it was the counterweight that had fallen. Something fell. Anyways, it created some serious damage. Fortunately, nobody got hurt or died on that one.
But none. Okay, wow.
Right?
So what's this now?
So this is from the Daily Commercial News. This is, you know, one of those newspapers that deal with construction and what's happening in Canada and stuff like that. So this is still talking about that River Street and Dundas
intersection,
right? So August 9th, this is part of the article. Following the incidents of fall 2020, the ministry conducted a special safety inspection blitz that occurred over 4 months and included visits to 200 tower crane sites across the province. Now, whether they climbed the tower cranes is a different question. Keep in mind, this is during COVID and stuff like that, and whether or not inspectors were out in the field is questionable. How they were doing these inspections.
Are you allowed to drone inspect?
Drone?
Yeah. Would you fly a drone up?
The Ministry of Labor does have a couple drones. I wouldn't use a drone for inspection because you have to see things.
Yeah, you'd have to physically look at it.
That's
right?
Like doing an inspection. There were issues, and I think I posted one on Instagram during the time when we were calling some of these things out. Even the engineers didn't climb the tower cranes because of COVID and stuff like that. So one of the pictures that I had was an engineer, and everyone kind of knows this engineer, the one with the long hair and drives, a beat up car, really rich. But this
could you add more description?
I can say his name, but
no,
he's gonna get a little butthurt, man.
No.
So we had a picture of this engineer, and basically he had these. Man, I call them 1970 binoculars. Like, they were this big. They were massive.
And Looney Tunes binoculars.
Bro, they were massive. And this engineer is inspecting the crane from the ground with the binoculars.
He didn't want to go up there?
I don't know, man. It is cool.
He's the engineer of the crane or of the building?
He was doing an inspection on the crane.
How the hell is that an inspection?
I don't know.
That's like you being the GC and you stop at your job site and pull out the binoculars and look through the windows.
Listen, during COVID for washrooms and stuff like that, the Ministry of Labor was making phone calls. Hey, do you have a washroom on your job site? Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you. Hang up. That's an inspection.
Wow.
Hey, man, they were COVID.
Okay, so they did an article 2 years after the fact. What did they learn 2 years after
the
fact?
All right, so 2021, the ministry released a consultation paper on tower crane safety regulations and asked industry and labor groups to provide feedback. More recently, between April 1st and June 30th of this year, which is 2021, I think, when this 2023,
so that would have been, 2022, yeah.
So the ministry conducted an enforcement initiative focused on workers who operate vehicles, equipment such as cranes, telehandlers, forklift, heavy equipment. During the initiative, the ministry completed over 1,700 field visits at 1,513 separate workplaces to increase compliance with the Occupational Health and Safety Act.
That's a lot of inspections.
Sure. Again, with those field visits, I couldn't speak to this, but the question I would have is, were they climbing tower cranes? Right? Because paperwork is paperwork. Yay, you got a whole pile of paperwork. Yeah, you're required to have this paperwork, whether it's engineered drawings, whether it's non-destructive testing, whether it's inspection reports, whatever it may be, log books. So it's easy to check the paperwork.
Yeah.
Right? But there's been previous cases with engineers. I know engineers, or at least one engineer that I know of, was charged by the Ministry of Labor. So you get into some sketchy engineers.
For what? Like
sitting at a Tim Hortons, and whoever brought them engineer paperwork, the guy would charge $500 and just stamp it.
I kind of coined the phrase cafe GC because there's a lot of GCs that do ultra high-end custom work, and they just sit at the Starbucks coffee shop and just run the business from there.
I like how you said Starbucks and not Tim's.
I'm just saying, right? So he was smart enough to come up with that plan, but he was dumb enough to get caught.
Yeah, well, this engineer got caught, then he got charged. I'm not saying related to tower cranes,
but yeah, no,
I can't even remember what he was an engineer for. And it actually might have been before my time. But there is questions regarding the competency of some engineers. We've seen structural failures and structural collapses. And who's the engineers that did this? And so they, revise and relook. Oh, we didn't have enough supports. Or we didn't have this column is in the wrong place. Or whatever it may be, man. You know, engineers are humans. Engineers are fallible. And, you know, we get such a mixed bag of engineers from around the world. All right, so you got different practices.
Yeah, they're coming here, they're coming to projects, they're attached to the project.
Sure.
Developers, what have you, right?
And one thing we got to keep in mind too, a majority, if not all the tower cranes are used tower cranes. They're not brand new.
They're not brand new. I've never seen a brand new crane
go up. I've seen one.
Have you?
One. Beautiful.
Brand spanking new
out of the box.
Did they do an Instagram video where they're unwrapping it?
No, this is before
all Instagram. The cellophane kind of sticking off, right? No, is not that sound?
The
Bugatti. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden,
the opening
going through the grills and everything. No,
usually what happens is in Europe, tower cranes' life expectancy is only 10 years old. So once a tower crane has been used for 10 years, then you can't use it in Europe anymore.
It just becomes scrap metal.
No, it becomes. A crane that they can sell to North America.
Wow. Really?
Right? Yeah, but listen, it's a crane. You know, you give us some spray paint and give it a little touch up and it's good
to
go.
So why is Europe being so proactive and...
I don't know.
I wonder what their track record is. We can figure that one out later on.
Yeah, when it comes to rules and regulations, whether it's health and safety or whether it's like food safety, for example.
Yeah.
Especially food safety.
Yeah.
Like eating in Europe... And the type of food and the ingredients
it's
in Europe.
Night and day.
Compared to here, it's
just... Listen, take a plane trip and go look at a Heinz bottle in UK.
Yeah,
look at a
Heinz bottle. We've all seen that.
We've all seen this shit. We've all seen the truth, right? Okay, so what else you got here?
So this kind of leads up to our most recent...
This is the most recent incident.
This is the one that happened last week. This is what happened. Right? So this is definitely a failure. This thing should not have come down. You know, and we post things and we hear a lot of things and a lot of people, you know, communicate and throw in their two cents. And I was on this site and I know this and I know that and I know this. But obviously this is an active investigation. And the Ministry of Labor is definitely doing an investigation into this and figuring out exactly what the failure was.
And the good thing, though, as the first thing that you said to me was that there was no fatalities, no injuries.
No fatalities, no injuries. Very fortunate. There is a video circulating online on Instagram that shows the moments after this thing came down, how many workers were on that slab level. And, you know, like when this thing moves and walking on rebar is not easy.
Nope.
You're doing a bit of a ballet act the whole time you're up there. And trying to run on exposed rebar and move out of the way.
That's a recipe for an accident, right?
Well, hey, listen.
Another incident.
It just leads to the byproduct, right?
Yeah.
And this incident and guys trying to... So, you know, shout out to these guys. But yeah, this thing came down. Right. And we weren't even sure. I think we posted it on Instagram before it was even posted on CP24 because the pictures that got sent to us didn't even come from Ontario. They came from BC. Yeah. Another Instagram page that we follow, Full Sheets. Hey, shout out to Full Sheets.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that are like, yo, man, did this crane just fall? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. And then when we posted it, then we got a whole bunch of, as soon as we posted, hey, you guys have any information on this? So
so what do we know about this? What can we share about this right now?
Well, what I can share is this. There's a couple of contributing factors to this collapse. You know, and we talked about some of these things. It can be a structural failure. It can be a mechanical failure of some type. Or it can be operator error. And why could it be operator error? It's not just the handling and maneuvering of loads or how you handle the crane. It's how you maintain the crane.
Yeah.
Right. So an operator has a logbook and every day they're required to do this, and inspect it.
You're a pilot. You're in the cockpit.
100%. You're required to inspect it and you're required to maintain it. Greasing. Right. So some of these things.
How often does that happen?
As often as necessary. Or should be happening as often as necessary. You're the operator of a crane getting paid $200,000. You want to double check that you're greasing everything.
Well, the hot plate's up there.
Well, and not in this case.
No, no, but, not in this case. But I'm just saying, yeah, they got to get climatized.
Again, and it's also the employer's responsibility to verify that everything is getting done. Right? And then it's the constructor's responsibility to verify it that the employer is doing what they're supposed to be doing, who's verifying that the worker's doing what they're supposed to do.
Exactly, right.
So shit rolls uphill a bit in these situations.
Is this job back up and running?
From what I've heard, they've already removed the crane off-site. Whether they've put up a new crane or not, I'm not 100% sure, but it won't take them long.
And this just happened last week.
This happened last Thursday?
It's been, yeah, one week. It's been 1 week now.
1 week. But listen, shout out to the guys that put these cranes together. I could never do the job. You know, when I was on the tower crane team, I was actually afraid of heights when I joined the team. And I figured joining the team was one way for me to challenge and get over it. But I think the highest tower crane I've personally ever climbed was over 60 stories up in the air.
What's the average? Do you know on average how long does it take to get up there? Like, what is it per foot? How long? You're climbing a ladder, right?
Well, listen, you're climbing a ladder that has landings.
Yeah, every so often, right?
And, you know, I don't know.
It depends, I guess, if you're going 80 stories, it's going to take you... A few minutes.
You'll take the hoist up as far as you can.
Yeah.
And then you'll take the stairs to up as far as you can, depending the height of the building, depending where the access point is for the operator. And then once you find that access point, like this tower crane most likely goes all the way down to the base still. It probably doesn't have any. There's only 4 or 5 stories this project at the time of. Right? So the access point to this crane is most likely at the foundation or at the base of the crane. But once you have the crane... as it's getting raised, as the building is going up, you know, your access point can be on the 50th floor.
True.
Right? And these are tower cranes that, and you'll see two types of setups. You'll see the tower crane inside the building or set up coming through the building.
Yep.
And then you'll see the tower cranes set up on the sides of the building.
Yep.
Me personally, I think this setup is a lot safer.
I agree.
That tower crane, remember in New York where there was a failure on one of... What's the word? Those braces that it's used to tie into the building?
Just anchor points, right?
There's a specific name for it.
I don't know the name. I know you're talking about it. It's almost like two bars or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. So one of those failed, and they came down, took out the next one, came down, took out the next one, came down and took out the next one, and then the tower crane just came down. I think that one killed 2 or 3 pedestrians in New York.
New York a few years ago had a bad rap for a while. They were dropping cranes nothing.
They were. They were dropping a lot of cranes, and right? But... in all due fairness, there is no reason why any of these cranes should fall. You know, during the conversation,
if you're doing the inspections, if you're doing your due diligence every single day,
just the fact that so many eyes get put on this piece of machinery and equipment.
Yeah, but they're not looking for the piece of machinery and equipment for failures. They're looking for efficiency of work.
No. They're looking for failures, right? Non-destructive testing, engineering testing, even with the new regulations.
Coming from the company? From the
Everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody. Mainly from the employer or the owner of the crane.
Okay.
Right? But there is a lot of inspections that need to be done, right? Just right from the base.
Daily, weekly? Monthly.
I think so for the operators daily. Other inspections, machinery and equipment will be weekly because it's over 10 horsepower, right? But even like, you know, before they even set it up, it's inspected before it leaves the yard.
All the components.
Yeah. Hey, do we have all the pieces for our Lego?
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's what it really is. It's just one big, gigantic Lego, right? And you put it all together and you put some pins in it and, right, but
I've seen it assembled one time downtown on Adelaide and Peter. I was impressed.
Oh, yeah.
I was impressed, right?
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I spent a lot of time watching and asking a lot of questions, right? And that's how you learn. Mm. And even some of the safety people that have called me in this last week asking me about questions about tower cranes and stuff like that. Man, I'll tell you guys the way I told all of these guys. Go and double check your tower crane. Review all the paperwork. But get your boots dirty. Don't stay in your trailer saying, I got this inspection, I got that inspection, I got this inspection, so it should be good. No. The job of safety is double checking and triple checking everyone's homework. And if you're the safety person on one of these projects, full-time safety person for the constructor or whatever it may be, or you're the safety for the forming company, climb the tower crane.
That's all you got to do. It's kind of simple.
Ask the operator.
That's part of your job.
Well, listen, it's tricky, man. There's a lot of moving parts, right? And some of these things, you know, I don't know. People may not feel comfortable with inspecting it. Maybe they don't have enough knowledge on the tower cranes. I don't know what it could be, right? But for me to learn about tower cranes, you know, the best way to do it, A, study the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, climb the tower crane.
Yeah.
And then C, talk to the operator. Show me what you did. Man. Show me where you greased that. Show me what you're looking at. Explain to me.
You'll prevent a lot of incidences.
Yeah. Like when we do when I was on the tower crane team, I would spend a good 45 minutes with the operator.
Well, right? Like you said, 3-4 hours for each site.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different types of tower cranes, right? Makes and models and, you know.
You got to familiarize yourself with them.
Yeah.
100%. You can't just go in there because you're not aware of what this piece of machinery is supposed to be like.
Well, manufacturer's instructions will vary, mm-hmm. right? A lot of it's the same too, but there may be specific components that are not the same on every other tower crane, right? This make and model number has this specification. This make and model number may have different components that need more attention. Right, maintenance on a Toyota versus maintenance on a Tesla.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Right? So there's definitely some differences. But, you know, I really hope that we don't have any more tower crane collapses. First, it's crazy because it's the biggest piece of machinery and equipment on a job site. Second, it affects a lot of people and it can kill a lot of people.
It affects the job site and the surrounding area.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one that fell on River Street, they had to shut down the whole street.
Yeah, every crane, I think, that goes up is probably further extended than the actual footprint of the building that they're building.
Oh, yeah. And they'll have overlapping procedures for that. Yeah. And, you know, where your pickup points are, where your loading is, and, you know, where your staging areas are. It definitely requires organization and planning. And then when you have multiple cranes on a project, then you got to make sure that the cranes don't hit each other. Right. So how do the operators communicate with each other? How do they prevent from coming into contact? How there's power lines.
There's a bunch.
Right. Maybe there's a building next door.
What's generally the rule or what happens when something like this happens with the crew? Does everybody just leave or do they hang out?
It depends.
I'm just assuming, like, let's say non-documented workers, are they just bolting, getting out of there? They don't want to be interviewed. I don't know. Would like do the
well, crew, listen,
they don't want to be questioned. They don't want to be. I didn't see anything.
That specific type of worker, if we're talking about illegals and stuff like that, very rarely do they want to talk to any enforcement agency.
Yeah.
If I was illegal, I'd be ducking and dodging left, right, and center.
But as an inspector, you want to be getting as many versions of the story to try to figure out what happened, right?
Well, listen, you want to get relevant versions of a story.
Yes.
You know, when you're doing an investigation like that, for me, for example, if I was doing this investigation, the operator would be the first person I talked to,
mm-hmm.
right? The supervisor for the forming
crew. Well, he's a pilot. I assume that he would have to stay there. Possibly even do a alcohol test. I don't know.
I've never heard of alcohol tests or drug tests. That they've been talking about stuff like that, but it's never come through, and I don't see any reason why it should go through.
I just bring that up because the airline.
With pilots.
Whenever there's a situation, an incident, that's one of the first things they do. They do tests for that, right?
MOL wouldn't be doing any of those tests.
Okay, I was just trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out, something happens, and all of a sudden, what do the workers do? Because you've got anywhere
from... run. That's the first thing that happens. Yeah. This thing starts coming down, you're ducking and dodging for your life. You're
looking for something. Yeah.
You're right? You're diving out of the way. But after, when the MOL shows up or an investigation like this starts, do certain people kind of not available at the time? Yeah, for sure. Right, it depends. I'm not saying in this case that's the case at all, right? But, you know, sometimes during an investigation, who saw something? No, I didn't see anything. Oh, I didn't see anything. Oh, there's 6 guys here. There's only 3 of you. Where'd the other 3 guys go?
That's what I mean.
Right? What 3 guys?
I'm not laughing at that. I'm just like, I don't think they want to be on the books on I saw something.
Listen, remind me to tell you the case about how they found a worker in a washroom, and then the owner or the employer claimed that it wasn't his worker because the guy was illegal. Actually, all the workers were illegal. And they disowned this guy really quick. I don't know who he is. He's just some random guy we found in the washroom bleeding. Oh, okay. And then it turns out that the guy was working for them, and we had video surveillance from the building and all kinds of stuff. It's just shenanigans.
It's the mobilization of it, where it's preventable that if it didn't happen, you're running a tight ship, it's a good business. But the moment something like this happens, because a missing cog, something didn't get done, something didn't get approved, looked at, what have you, it's the mobilization of facts.
After a situation like this, yes, facts are the most important, right? But you got to find them.
That's what I mean. So now you have to dig and try to figure out which facts are facts and which facts are kind of a version.
Well, listen, facts have different weights.
Yeah.
In an investigation like that. The fact that three guys over there weren't wearing their hard hat plays absolutely nothing to this tower crane collapse.
No.
Right? So you're definitely looking for evidence in this case. You're looking for compliance with the regulations. And any non-compliance with the regulations may result in charges and fines.
Yeah.
Right? Whether they laid any charges and fines to the previous tower crane collapses, I don't know. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't
happen. Does the history of the crane company come into play here? I'm assuming it would. You would find out who it is. Look in their history.
Well, listen, and when you're in this business long enough, you know that certain companies have different reputations. Well, some companies have a reputations for being a safer company.
Yeah.
And some companies have reputations for not being as safe.
Cowboy.
Right?
Yeah.
And again, not saying that this is the case with
No. I'm just trying to figure out, right?
Well, you got to point it out sometimes. Otherwise, everyone gets a little sensitive. But the reality of the situation is dropping a tower crane in the middle of Toronto or any other city or anywhere, period, it's a PR nightmare besides all of this other stuff, right? All of the important stuff. But on the bottom of that list is the PR nightmare. The news, the helicopters, you know. The statements, I saw this and I saw it's, and, you know. But again, fortunately, nobody got hurt. Nobody died, which is a great
thing. Well, then consider yourself lucky at that fact, right?
Yeah, luck definitely plays it. You know, like it could have been easily that if one worker was 6 inches that way, they'd be dead. Right? It could have been easily something like that. And a lot of cases, you know, near misses. I'm not saying this is a near miss because it's a full collapse, but you know, a near miss could be, oh, almost died because of an inch, right? Oh, almost chopped off my whole arm or got my arm stuck in this, you know, whatever it may be.
Do you know if, was the crane working at the time of the collapse?
Yes.
So they had a load on it?
They had a full bucket.
Oh, really? So where did the bucket go?
It went straight. It's right there. You see it there?
Oh, it's right in there.
Yeah. They had already poured all of this.
Oh, so they were right in the middle of pouring that section.
Yeah. You're telling me a tower crane can't take the weight of a full concrete bucket?
What happens to that concrete now? I'm just curious. Like, obviously, well, you're stopping the work, but you got concrete there.
I'm guessing it's all going to be chipped out.
It has to be chipped out and start all over again.
That's what I'm guessing, but who knows?
And then the trickle effect, all the trucks that were waiting to offload.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
shut down. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the mobilization of facts.
Here, you got some fire department here.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not always good to see fire trucks on a construction site.
Got our...
You got your cement trucks. Cement.
Right. So again, nobody likes to see this happening for our industry as a whole. Nobody likes to see it. Well, nobody likes to see it, period. You know, you don't want to be a worker on a site when something like this happens, right? But again,
it happens. But it's preventable.
And it can be preventable, just like a majority of other things.
Yeah.
Right? But the investigation will reveal. And
what are you hoping the investigation is going to reveal?
Just the facts. That's all you can do, right? The Ministry of Labor is just a referee. All right. Safety people, safety professionals.
Were what just, do you think happened?
What I think happened is irrelevant.
I'm just curious. Is it a mechanical failure? Is it a machinery? Like, is it?
If I was to put money on error, if I was to put money on those four possibilities, structural, mechanical, weather, or operator error, I'd probably put my money on operator error. That's where I would put my money. But
we don't know yet until you
investigate. We don't know.
But you're looking at a brand new site. It almost leaning towards the operator, right?
I don't know. It could.
We're not saying it is.
But it could easily have been mechanical.
Yeah.
It could have been something that failed. There are safety devices built into this to prevent this from happening, right? Could have been that some of these safety devices were disengaged. That's always a possibility.
To move the work faster or something like that, or we don't know. A lot of variables
right Same here. Reason why anybody else disengages a safety device. Why do you remove the guard on your blade?
I was just thinking that. I understand.
Right? Yeah. Sometimes you just remove it.
What else you want to share about this as we kind of get close to wrapping up?
I think that's pretty much it, unless you have more questions on tower cranes.
No, but, I'm just curious about it. So now they're going to go through the routine. Hopefully it's a fast investigation. Hopefully they do get all the answers. And hopefully the company learned from this.
Hopefully.
That's all you can do, right?
Hopefully.
They should be very grateful. I don't know. I call me stupid, but if I was the developer, like that scenario that you talked about earlier regarding the black car showing up and just like that, the arrogance associated with that owner, I would be on the site right now thanking every crew person that was on that site that they're still here working because they could be in a casket. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the industry.
It's not the industry. It's not reflective of the industry. But some of the projects, some of the teams, some of the investigations, some of the places I've gone in terms of my position, I can definitely say that I've encountered more types of people like that than any, than comparable to other inspectors. Just because of my languages and stuff like that, you know, Phil, go solve this problem with these guys and go deal with this issue. Or yeah, let's go take a look at this asbestos stuff. I like jumping into holes. You know what I mean? That's how I approached my position as an inspector.
But the stereotype of the developer is more so that type of developer than the developer that has humanity.
Listen.
I'm not surprised. I'm assuming
I'm not surprised. Any corporation
whose
focus is on money.
Yes.
And money is their number one priority, whether it's a developer, whether it's the cereal brand that puts poison in their food, whether it's these guys that have this amount of chemicals here, you know what I mean? They're putting profits
before people.
And unfortunately, in construction, you know how it is, man. There's different types of workers. There's different types of owners, different types of people that have different views, I guess, on the workers or the types of workers or the projects, whatever. There's employers out there that, you know, I think they belong in jail.
Yeah.
Right? And we're talking about human rights abuses. We're talking about modern day slavery. And we're going to do a whole episode on the different types of workers that are in this province. Because there's various degrees and types of workers.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, I tell you, at the bottom of that list is illegal workers.
Really?
Well, yeah. They're part of the workforce in Ontario.
Yeah, no, they're part of the workforce, but then you've got a whole other list of a shitload of different.
There's at least four or five types of workers. And then you get right to the top, which is politicians. They're workers. But I feel like, you know, the laws don't really apply.
Someone sent me a photograph of another opening of a job site and all the politicians were there. And
were they wearing hard hats?
Yeah, sure, they're all wearing hard hats. Were they wearing dress shoes? They're wearing dress shoes and they're all pristine, clean hard hats.
Well, yeah, listen, that's the photo op, right? But, you know, when it comes to safety and leading by example and following the rules and stuff like that and employment standards, and yeah, there's different levels of workers. But again, a whole episode just on.
We'll continue. There's plenty to talk
about. From the bottom to the top.
If anybody's got any information about that particular crane or any other past cranes,
they can reach out. No, don't send it to me.
Don't send it to me.
No. You don't want it. My piece on that tower crane is done.
You're done. You've done your investigation. It's done.
I didn't do any investigations, but.
But your inquiries into what's going on.
What I can say is this. I appreciate everybody that has sent us images and videos Our intention is never to get anybody in trouble. If someone on that crew,
it's education.
Listen, awareness, it's learning from mistakes and learning from issues. But I'd like to thank everybody. Shout out to all our followers on Instagram. Everybody who's watched the first two episodes of this show, thank you very much.
There's plenty more shows to watch.
Well, yeah, you know, as long as people are enjoying it. But we're trying our best to kind of have real conversations other than scripted safety conversations.
Important conversations.
Are you sure? Safety is important for
well-being. I don't want to do a safety show that the lawyers do.
No.
It's going to be boring.
I think that's probably the other problem with some of these other podcasts, you know?
Safety podcasts? I don't even know any. I don't pay attention. So you probably know them more than I do.
Well, listen, different groups put on these podcasts and they're very informative, right? And don't get me wrong, I really love the subject matter. But
let's get right into it.
Hey, man, I don't know. I like keeping it real.
That's it. All right. Thanks so much, Phil.
Thank you, everybody.
We're out of here.